Hey there, Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, your host. In this episode, we'll continue to shine last week's spotlight on amazing teachers, then venture out into the chill to talk to some folks about soil, water, and why they matter, and then round out our time sitting in a cozy game shop, learning a little bit about the games played there and how you can learn them too. As always, we'll start things off on a positive note with one of my favorite segments, Positively Charged.
Located within the limestone bricks of Jones Middle School, Jim Franck, a veteran teacher of 25 years, educates students not only on math, but on the importance of setting and reaching goals both inside and outside the classroom. His unique approach within his teaching channels students to an ample opportunity to reaching their full potential. That is why so many students look up to him and call him an educator that they will remember.
About 28 years old, I worked for a bank here in town, Ameritrust Bank. And during the day, I worked for the bank, but at night, I was tutoring at a Franklin County Children's Services group home. And I realized at that time, I really, really enjoyed helping students with their math homework. So that kind of festered in my brain for a bunch of years. And then when I was age 35, the bank I worked for shut down. And so I got furloughed and was able to, at that time, go back and get a teaching certificate, learn how to be a school teacher. The advice I got from an older brother when I was getting out of high school is that, listen, Jim, he said, I don't know what you want to do. I don't know what you're planning to do in life, but one thing I can tell you don't want to do. And I said, what's that? And he said, you don't want to become a school teacher. So I said, all right, so I didn't become a school teacher. But then looking back on it, I realized that was probably the worst advice I ever got because I became one and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I see year in and year out is a passion for learning. Upper Arlington students come ready, willing, and able to learn every day. They bring a passion for it, an enthusiasm for it. They care about what they do, and I think they see the end product. You know, they're looking out saying, if I work hard, I'll get to achieve some of my goals in life. Even though as seventh graders, they may not know specifically what those goals are, they know that education is going to help them get there. And so it is such a pleasure having Upper Arlington students in class and being a part of their lives because they're just such neat, neat kids and great people. Every day I can look back and say that I was a positive influence on my students. Okay. And I think that's really important to me. I like to help them learn math, and I like to help them grow up and feel good about themselves. And so even on those days when I'm a grumpy old math teacher, I'd like to think that I'm being a positive influence on the on the people around me.
When he's not in the classroom, Jim Franck can be found around the community walking his five dogs or riding his bicycle to and from school. He is an avid woodworker and is known to make furniture from scratch. Mr. Franck is the representation of what makes a memorable teacher, as so many of his students and colleagues can say. And from all of us, we say thank you.
Once more, that was reporters from Upper Arlington High School interviewing the unparalleled Mr. Franck. This is Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. Now, as we emphasized last week, an amazing teacher is an amazing thing. They have the ability to make us passionate about learning and inspire us to find parts of ourselves we didn't know existed. But occasionally, even the best of teachers need a little help. Say, for instance, you need to teach a group of elementary students about soil. Not something everyone has a broad amount of knowledge on. But not to worry. Franklin Soil and Water is here to help. This dedicated team focuses on bringing to light the importance of one of the most basic things on Earth. You guessed it, soil. And water, too. So, how do they do it? Well, we turn to reporter Nicole Jackson to find out more.
Dirt made my lunch. Dirt made my lunch. Thank you, dirt. Thanks a bunch. For my salad, my sandwich, my milk, and my munch. 'Cause dirt, you made my lunch.
Dirt is a word that we often use. news when we're talking about that earth.
Hi, this is Nicole Jackson, staff of Youth Beat Radio, and I am here with a few educators from Franklin Soil and Water Conservation District. How are you all doing?
Hi, I'm Carol Loopstra, and I'm an environmental educator here working with youth, bringing education programs to the schools.
Hi, I'm Linda Pettit. I'm the environmental education specialist here at the district, and I too bring education programs and work with students preschool through college and also with the teachers.
Hi, I'm Kristen Hilson. I'm a program coordinator here with Franklin Soil and Water. I help manage the Green Spot Rain Barrel program, which is now Green Spot Backyards, and I attend a lot of our outreach events and talk to residents about stormwater and backyard conservation at their home.
Thank you all very much. So to get things started, who is Franklin Soil and Water Conservation District?
Franklin Soil and Water Conservation District is, like we said, a conservation district. They're run by the county, but also we're under the Division of Soil and Water at the state level. There is Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, so there is a conservation district in every county in the state. There's also a National Association of Conservation Districts, so we are nationwide.
What is the focus of Franklin Soil and Water Conservation District?
I would say the main focus for our mission statement is to promote responsible land use decisions for conservation, protection, and improvement of soil and water resources, which basically breaks down to just helping landowners, residents answer questions about conservation or if they're having water issues on their property, and then helping them with soil improvement.
What types of programs do you offer at Franklin Soil and Water?
Well, Linda and I and the education team, we're focused mainly on the school's programs that meet the curriculum. So our programs focus on soil and water mainly. So that includes everything about soil formation, how soil is formed, why soil is important, soil erosion problems. We talk about water quality. We connect it with stormwater issues and, you know, make sure kids know not to throw trash down the storm drains. So educate them about the storm drains and then get into the water quality for both the habitat and the streams and then the fact that we use that water for drinking. So, and then we've got both programs for pre-K through 12th grade. We have literature-based programs because a lot of the younger age groups had a lot, they needed to connect it with the literature. So various tents that we can put up, the kids can actually sit in the tents. So it's a lot of hands-on and making them feel like they're part of a story or part of a backdrop. We also have loan kits so that if teachers want to do the program themselves, we can supply them with the materials. And then they can take them back into the classroom and do the programs there.
This question is for Linda. What are some of your popular programs that you have as part of your education team?
I would say our most popular program is probably the soils, something that a lot of the teachers are not as familiar with, and soil is now being taught in both third and sixth grade. So we have, as Carol mentioned, a tent. We have a soil, what we call the soil tunnel, but it's a 10 by 10 pop-up tent that we hang a canvas on that looks like you're underground. So the kids sit inside this tent and they can do the layers of the soil. We talk about the tree roots. We talk about the importance of soil and what soil is made out of and cover those curriculum standards. The other real popular program is the Lorax, and we do that mostly with the younger grades, again, inside the 10 by 10 tent. This is the literature connection that Carol mentioned, and we talk about the Lorax and making wise choices and how we need to make wise choices about our environment and keeping it clean.
So what do you think makes that
program or activity stand out to kids?
Again, it's the interactive nature, the Lorax. The kids all have to add things to the backdrop. So they're either a brown barbalut or a swami swan or a humming fish or a truffula tree. And they all get really upset when their animal or tree has to leave. And so they feel the connection. So that kind of makes them more connected with the environment as well as the story. The soil tunnel, they're learning soils in the third or the sixth grade, and by actually seeing what it looks like underground, again, they feel that connection, so they kind of feel more like they understand maybe what's going on around them.
This question is for Kristen Hilson. What types of programs do you offer for the public?
This year, we're rolling out a new program called Green Spot Backyards. It's an expansion program from our Green Spot Rain Barrel program where we sold low-cost rain barrels. So this year, because the cost of rain barrels is going up for us, we are moving to a rebate system where we will offer a $50 mail-in rebate for residents who attend any of our in-person workshops or complete the online course and quiz. And then once they go out and purchase a rain barrel, a compost bin, or a native plant, we will reimburse one of those items for them. And it's just a way that we can encourage landowners to practice backyard conservation on their property, but doing something that actually makes sense for them. You know, if they want to focus on rain barrels, they can buy a rain barrel and we'll reimburse them. But it just, we're trying to tie in a lot of our education programs to actually programs that people can participate in. And just having a rain barrel program didn't allow that for the resident. So we also have a rain garden program with Sarah Ernst. She's our conservation implementation specialist, and she will actually come out to your yard and help you design and plan a rain garden. She will help you with plant selections. And then we have a landowner and urban team. They'll come out to your property and help you with any kind of drainage issues, or if you have questions on placements of certain things, they can come out to your property and help you with that. We work with a lot of the cities on their GIS side, so that's another big program that we have where it's basically they will just do a lot of the stormwater mapping, and that all ties into our main focus of stormwater runoff and helping solve that problem in the city and around municipal districts.
Who are some of the groups that you partner with?
City of Columbus is probably one of our main supporters, but we do work with most municipal districts in some way or another, whether it be with the Backyard Conservation Program or in another aspect. We are always looking for new partners, though. We work very closely with Metro Parks, with the Audubon, any conservation districts, and then other two big ones that help us with our programs are Friends of the Lower Olentangy and Friends of Alum Creek Tributaries.
What are some of the frequently asked questions that you get from the public regarding the rain barrels?
I think the main concern right now is mosquito prevention and what they can use the water for. I think some people know exactly, you know, it's roof runoff, so it's not drinking water, but there are a lot of good causes that you can use it for in your garden. I use mine to give my dogs a bath. And then as long as you are filtering through the water and using it within a week, or if you use mosquito dunk, it's a closed lid system, so there's really no way that you can have a mosquito problem unless you just leave it there.
Are there any extra things that they would need to have, or is that all provided in the kit?
For the most part, if you buy a rain barrel, it will come with a diverter system kit. Some do not, but you can buy a kit individually, or you can buy parts to make a diverter system at a hardware store. But for the most part, I would just recommend purchasing a rain barrel with a kit. It makes it very easy to install, and you get everything that you need to get it up and going.
What does a typical year look like for the education team at Franklin Soil and Water?
Well, I'd say our typical year, like if you're looking at a school year, for example, the year starts out in September with the new students coming in. It's a little bit slow at first, but then a lot of people think, you know, environment with harvest or, you know, the fall. So we do a lot of fall programs. And that's a great time for field trips because the weather is usually pretty good. And we do a lot of field trips in Metro Parks in the fall with some of our different school groups. Then winter is a little bit slower, but we still go in and do classroom presentations throughout the winter. Spring is our busiest time of year. That's really when people think environment and think again about the outdoors. Some things that we have going on in the spring besides our normal school programs is we have a conservation poster contest that starts every February and goes through April. Where students draw posters on 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, preferably using the back of paper that's been previously used. And then on a certain theme, it's a different theme every year. This year we're looking at pollinators, our local heroes. And another spring event is the Envirothon, which is a contest that's statewide, actually national. But we have an area contest coming up in the end of April. And it's high school students work in teams to answer questions about the environment, and that's an outdoor contest coming up. So those are focuses as well as obviously regular outdoor events. We do more community-wide events in the spring as well, science nights at elementary schools where the parents come to see what the kids have been learning, and we're asked to bring events to those, activities to those. And then Earth Day at the zoo and events like that we also go out to in the spring. We used to think the summer was maybe a less used time of year or less busy time of year, but we do work year-round, and we have been invited to a lot of summer camps the last few years. And so we go out and do our same school programs, but out in the summer camps with their different age ranges of audiences that they have. So we keep busy year-round helping students and teachers learn more about the environment and things that they can bring to their students.
So I know you all have a wonderful website for all of this wonderful, cool, and interesting information. Where can this be found?
Well, we also have a newsletter called SWIFT, so that stands for Soil and Water Information for Teachers. It's a newsletter for the education team, and it comes out 3 times a year. We send it out. We used to send it out regular mail, but now we email it out to teachers in Franklin County. And so we will usually highlight something that's going on, like the last one highlighted the poster contest and explained about it, and the Envirothon that Linda mentioned. And then we collect all kinds of information about events happening in Franklin County or in Central Ohio that both kids and families can go to, as well as teachers. Sometimes we advertise just ongoing things, that places that people can visit for education, environmental education. And then we also advertise teacher workshops that are happening at certain times so that the teachers can get the information they need to better maybe incorporate the environmental education into their classes.
So exactly what is the site that people can go to in order to locate this information in terms of your programs, your newsletters, and any other information that could be useful to the public?
Our website is www.franklinswcd.org.
Where are you guys located, and what are your business hours?
We are located at 1404 Goodale Boulevard in Grandview. We've been here just over a year, so if you're familiar with the old site, we're not that far away, moved down the road, but we are no longer on Dublin Road. We are now, like I said, at 1404 Goodale Boulevard in Grandview. Our business hours are 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Dirt made my lunch. Thank you, Dirt. Thanks a bunch. For my salad, my sandwich, my milk, and my munch. 'Cause Dirt, you made my lunch.
Once more, that was Nicole Jackson with a few educators from Franklin Soil and Water. This is Lindsay for Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. Now, learning is fine, more than fine. Learning is great, wonderful, sublime. But you can't do it perpetually. At some point, you have to take a break and relax. And we all have different ways of relaxing. Reading, writing, playing sports, building models, playing an instrument, you name it, someone does it. Sometimes it's nice to expand our list of hobbies and interests, but it can also be really hard to pick what to delve into next. So we thought we'd help you out. We headed down to the Soldiery, a local gaming store in Clintonville, and talked with one of their patrons about the kinds of games that can be played there and how to get started.
We'll be right back.
at the Soldiery, continuing our series of gaming interviews. Right now we are here with Jonathan, and he is a graduate student, am I right?
A graduate student aide.
There you go. So he's a graduate student in age, and if not in spirit. And we're just going to talk to him a little bit about what games he plays, why he plays them. You got the gist of it. All right, so first of all, how did you get into gaming?
So I actually started in gaming by playing chess with my dad when I was around 5 or 6. From that point on, like, I lost a lot of games and all that, but I ended up loving the fact that there was a challenge to be overcome. So I kept playing chess, and then I ended up getting into other games, such as the one I'm in now, or video games, or any other types. And I just enjoy the aspect of the mechanics of games and how you can overcome a challenge in them, at least a shorter period of time instead of a lifetime, per se, in terms of goals.
All right, so what are your favorite types of games to play if you really enjoy things like overcoming challenges?
So in terms of overcoming challenges in games, I like playing multiplayer competitive games. So for example, right now I play a game called Card Fight Vanguard. It's not considered like the most competitive game, but it is very good for interacting with people and overcoming the challenge of trying to achieve victory in the game by going through the game mechanics and actually being able to analyze and determine what your opponent's going to do the next turn. I've also done this in competitive Smash Bros. When I was in college at Samford University, SAMFRD, just to clarify for the listeners. And just different games that are multiplayer. That's really the thing I like to focus on. I'm not really a RPG or story-based gamer, per se.
All right, so what is it about like multiplayer games that attracts you? Is it more of the social aspect, or is it really all about, you know, the challenge and having to figure out what your opponent has and what you need to play in order to beat them?
It's kind of a mix. So with multiplayer games, the real interest that you see is that it's a social aspect because you're learning more about the person, but that social aspect can turn into a way to compete. So a good example of that, when you're playing chess, you want to actually analyze your opponent, see their preferences, see their weaknesses in terms of what they do in the game, and based on those aspects of the person, you can actually see how they will behave in game. With that being said, you can use their behavior in game to actually counteract them or counterplay. So if that part of it's really interesting. Smash Bros. Does the same thing. So if they're playing a certain character, if they like playing a certain style, you can actually use those characteristics and knowledge pieces, or facts, I guess is what you call them, being too wordy, to be able to compete against them and actually use their own play style against them.
All right, so if you were going to tell anybody out there who heard this show and really wants to check out gaming for the first time, is there any particular game you would recommend starting in, or are there any sources that you would go to really figure out what games they would be interested in or places that they should go to just sort of get a feel for what's happening?
I think games are very flexible in the way that people can enjoy them. So a good example, my sister is not really big into multiplayer games and competitive, but she enjoys text-based games and things that are like Oregon Trail or things that almost seem like a story. So, I mean, honestly, start with games that seem interesting to you. It's kind of like picking up a good book. If you see one that looks good on the cover, see one that looks good in the summary, you can pick it up, see if you like it. If you don't, move on to something else. So, like, right now, you have so many access to different games, like casual or competitive. You have things like the iPhone Store. You have things like the app, the Google Play library on Android that you can actually go and check these things out. If you can't do electronics, that's fine. You can go and join different game groups in the area. I even go into game groups for game design. And if you don't want to play the games and make them, there's a group in Dublin right now that actually does game design, and you could check that out for yourself. So there's a lot of different avenues. Gaming is very diverse. It's not just one or two different games, and depending on what you like, you can actually check them out.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you having on the show. Now, we're coming to a close here on Youth Beat, but as usual, we've got time for a creature feature. In honor of the Cincinnati Zoo's newest arrival, this week's featured creature is the hippopotamus. Once wider spread, hippos now live in eastern, central, and southern sub-Saharan Africa, where they spend most of their days submerged in lakes and rivers in an attempt to keep their 5 to 8,000 pound bodies cool. This may have led to the Greeks naming them hippopotamus, which literally translates to water horse. Although they are bulky, they are surprisingly nimble swimmers and can hold their breath for up to 5 minutes. In the evening when it's cool, they wander out of the water to graze on grasses and any other vegetation they can find, single file, with one hippo eating about 80 pounds of vegetation a night. Although they are herbivorous, they are still big enough and territorial enough to have gained a fearsome reputation. But if treated respectfully, they mean no harm. Oh, and if you ever hear that hippos sweat blood, they don't. It's actually a self-made moisturizer and sunblock all-in-one that just happens to be oily and red when secreted. And as always, we close with a quote. This week, we turn to the whimsical but profound Dr. Seuss, who said, "Sometimes you will never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory." This was Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. Have a good one. Youth Beat Radio is sponsored by grants from the Puffin Foundation West, The Ohio State University, and The Ohio State University Extensions and Outreach Programming. The views expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the station or the show's sponsors.